Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday. Last Sunday, as you recall, was Father's Day and played a prominent role in our worship service. We also want to tell you you're always welcome to Button Church live and in person with us this Sunday morning and every Sunday morning. We meet at 10:30 at 101 North Oak, and we'd be glad to see you.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, all the men that are important in our lives. We're going to begin our worship today, preparing our hearts for worship by singing this little chorus, God is So Good. Let's stand together as we call ourselves to worship today. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God.
And that is what we are.
Come, let us bow down and worship, recognizing the steadfast love of our Heavenly Father.
We come to His presence with thanksgiving, praise and praise His holy name.
Our opening hymn is one of my wife's favorites. She couldn't be here today, but it's This Is My Father's World.
Special music this morning is a quartet by brothers Tony Berry and Todd Berry and their cousins, brother and sister Mark Roback and Christy Heimrichs.
So we're going to sing Father Lead Me Day by Day. Today's Father's Day. It's kind of a short song, but the words are pretty meaningful, and I think it's appropriate for both our earthly fathers and our heavenly Father.
Father, lead me day by day.
Happy most of all to know that my Father loves me so.
Tony Kiefer reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Matheny's sermon, God Our Father.
Please pray with me the prayer of illumination. As the seed of your revelation is dropped into our heart, give us the discernment to hear through human words, that we may apprehend a divine word. Amen. Our first scripture lesson comes from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Blessed his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high and above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so does he remove our transgressions from us. As our father pities his children, so that the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for men, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, hearkening in the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that will do his will. Bless the Lord in all his works, in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The second lesson comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor about your body and what you should put on it. If not life more important than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they are? And which of you are being anxious can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O me, men of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things that shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let today's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Here ends the lessons. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tony, and thanks, Quartet. Next thing you know, they'll be on America's Got Talent. One of those programs. But I love to hear the music. I love music, and when the youth do music, and that's the first. Beth had the beautiful solo, but I'm looking forward to hearing the choir and the handbell choir. I never attempted to play handbells. I just never tried it. But I always sang the choir over the years. I could do it as long as the person next to me knew the notes, and because I have a good pitch, so I could hear them. One year I actually sang in the Messiah, and that was really a special experience. A lot of practices and two or three performances. I'll just never forget it. Meant so much to me. There's something I wanted to say that you maybe never thought about, and that is that not everyone looks forward to Father's Day or is happy about Father's Day. And the reason I say that is that people have different experiences and relationships in life. Some people never had a father for various reasons. Or the father they had left the family. Or the father was abusive in different ways. Happens more than you would ever realize. And so for people like that, they just have a hard time being thankful for fathers. But hopefully you had a good experience with your father, your grandfather. I wish you could have met my dad. He was born and raised in Oklahoma. The farm they lived on was a part of one of the Indian reservations in Lawton, Oklahoma. And so he grew up riding horses and stuff like that. After high school, he went to college. He worked his way through college. His parents couldn't afford for him to go. Then he went to the military, served our country, and then came back home and started working for a company there in Oklahoma. And he worked there his whole life until he retired. He had six children that he raised. I just have so many special memories, you know, of him when we used to go boating and water skiing, and we used to go fishing. Used to go golfing. I taught him how to play golf, and he and my mom loved golf. He just was a real special guy, and our family misses him. But today is Father's Day, and I looked it up, and I found that the observance of a Father's Day was somewhere in the early 1900s, but there was nothing official until President Nixon made Father's Day official in 1972. So from that day till now, it's always celebrated on this particular Sunday. I'll be getting a phone call later today from my son, from my daughter, wishing me a happy birthday, Father's Day. It's always special to talk to them. One in New Mexico and one is in Connecticut. So they're kind of scattered around. And so I was thinking about Father's Day. I couldn't help but think of the fact that God is known as our Father. We refer to God as Father. And that comes from the fact that when you look into the New Testament, Jesus refers to his Father over and over again. When he talks about God, he talks about God as his Father. And there's several places that come to my mind when it comes to Jesus talking about God as Father. One of the places is in the Beatitudes that I know we love, where Jesus was talking about how people were concerned about their clothing, their food, their livelihood. And Jesus said, don't be concerned about those things. Don't be worried about those things, because your Heavenly Father knows the needs that you have, and he is going to be with you and meet your needs. We remember very vividly in the Lord's Prayer that we pray each Sunday. He taught his disciples to pray, Our Father. A special relationship. And then I'm remembering that on the cross, as life was leaving him, ending, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Loving, trusting, faith in his Heavenly Father. And so all the times we see as he journeyed in his life, different places where he spent time in prayer, he went to his Father. And that reminded me of some of the teachings of the Apostle John. John was known as the Apostle of Love. And so when you look at especially the epistles, you'll see how he references God's love over and over. I remember the verse that he said here in chapter 3 of 1 John. And this is what he says. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. John is amazed at that as he thinks about us, as he experiences it, and we should be too. The fact that God loves us and we are his children. I've hinted or mentioned before that we use the word love in so many ways in our society. You know, we love food, we love sports, we love TV. And I mean, it's just a way of saying things that we like and that we enjoy. But it's different when we talk about loving our husband and our wife, our children. It's a more meaningful kind of love that's in our hearts. And that's the kind of love that God has placed in our hearts. It is the highest kind of love. It's the kind of love that is patient and kind and forgiving, is long-suffering. It's all these things that are important in our relationships with one another. And our wonderful God is the model for that kind of love. Jesus is the model of that kind of love. As we look at them, we see how strong and powerful love can be. Love can change lives. It can change situations. It is the greatest thing ever. And in this passage, he says, we are called now children of God. How wonderful that is. We, in other places, it mentions that we are adopted into His family. And when you're adopted, you have all the privileges and rights of a natural born child. And that's where we are. We are adopted. We are full children of God and all of its implications. One of my favorite songs, gospel songs, is The Love of God. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you might have sung it as a choir or as a group. It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretch from sky to sky." What a wonderful way of saying that our wonderful God loves us so much that it's sometimes hard to comprehend. And one of the verses from Paul's letter that has always meant a lot to me is the Apostle Paul goes through a long list of things that could separate us from God's love. The whole list. But then in the end, he says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Absolutely nothing in this life, in a life to come, nothing can take you out of God's love and His care. That's the wonderful thing that we're celebrating today. God is our Father, and we are valued, we are loved, we are held in His care and keeping, even in the difficulties of life that we all experience. God is still with us. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
God, our Father, we have come to again to acknowledge your greatness and your love for each of us. And we're so thankful that we can come and express anything that is important to us or anything that is a concern or that we need. You are one who welcomes us with open arms to commune with you and with the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we've come today again, and we're just praying that we'll continue to have new insights in your love, that we'll continue to grow in our faith, that we're able to grow in your love, that we can share your love with people everywhere we go. Because we know that that's your desire for us as your children. And so we are thankful for your many blessings and are praying for your will continue to be in our lives and in our church, and we will not forget to give you praise. And we pray this in the name of our wonderful Savior, who taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Words of benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God the Father make his face shine upon you and give you an unwavering sense of his love. As you leave this place, go with the comforting assurance that you are his children, held securely in his hands. May his peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds as you walk in his ways. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.